let's hear from Eric Arnold now. Eric is formerly the music editor of the Bay Area-based 4080 magazine and later became its editorial director. And in 2009, he was commissioned by the Future of Music Coalition to write papers on the effects of consolidation on urban radio and the implications of net neutrality for independent artists, which brings us right to the topic today. So to go specifically to independent artists and local communities, what's going to be the relationship between net neutrality and their ability to thrive?
Well, basically, independent artists, independent media have to rely on net neutrality. It's their lifeline. One of the things we really have to consider is the intersection of technology and entertainment, which has happened over the last 10, 15 years, where Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast aren't just broadband access providers, they're also de facto entertainment companies. Most of the action right now that's happening in terms of music is not going through radio play. It's going through ringtones. So if you look at the ringtone market, that's where all the money is coming from for artists. Now, if an independent artist is able to be in control of their own ringtone, then, you know, that's a path to economic empowerment. However, if a ISP or telco controls that, then it's a completely different story. When you're looking at independent media, independent artists, the internet is the one thing that has leveled the playing field for them. And I'm just gonna kind of back away from the net neutrality topic and then come back to it and talk about the major label model that used to exist under a brick and mortar retail system, which no longer exists. You don't really have Tower. I mean, Tower Records is no more. You just shop for music online. But the way that it used to exist under the major label model is that artists made 12 cents per CD minus label advances and recoupable costs. So you would actually have people that, you know, went gold, sold 500,000 copies of a record, and were told by their label that they actually owed the label money. I mean, that happened a lot. Under the new current internet indie model, an artist can make $7 or $8 per CD. They can make something like 80 cents off of a 99-cent download. So basically, that's money that's going directly to the artist. What they've done is to cut out the middleman and cut out that overhead and cut out a label that wasn't even operating in their own interest. And through the internet, they're able to go directly to their fan base. Instead of 12 cents per CD, you know, they're making $7 to $8 per CD. Instead of, you know, the $34,000 that A Tribe Called Quest made from the low-end theory, which went gold, $34,000. You know, they're making considerably more. So you have to really look at the fact that the internet is a threat to this hegemony of the major label system, what's left of it, and the technology companies. Now, the other thing that has to be kept in mind is also independent media, which is the other kind of big stream for the internet. You know, if you look at what's happened to media over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, anyone see season 5 of The Wire?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. There's a changing role of media, right? TV, radio, newspapers, no longer the only game in town. There's been a consolidation of mainstream media, downsizing of traditional newsrooms, reliance on blogs and outside sources for local news, okay? All of that goes through the internet. You know, the internet is the game changer. It's the leveling aspect of this whole field. If, you know, talking about if fair and balanced, it's the only thing that is fair and balanced because it serves the community and it comes through the community, and it operates from the community, not from some corporate office in San Antonio. Okay. Let me just finish up by saying that, you know, the stories that are not being reported really are the ones that, you know, that follow this path of what's happening with entertainment, what's happening with technology, how they're coming together. And I would just urge people to do further research. There was a story that came out recently about Dr. Dre. You guys know about Dr. Dre, right? Well, Dr. Dre, when he signed his contract, it didn't include digital rights because they didn't exist at the time. So his contract got sold to another label, which has been making millions and millions of dollars off of ringtones, selling music over the internet, and Dr. Dre is not receiving a penny of this. Now, Dr. Dre is not the only person who is in this position. There's a lot of artists who, you know, who had contracts that pre-existed the digital era. But he is probably the biggest name out there. And, you know, that's something, again, where we're talking about a path to economic empowerment, a path to independent entrepreneurship. And with net neutrality, if that is not upheld, then all of that is threatened, including the First Amendment. And let me just finish up by saying that, you know, I looked at the argument against net neutrality. This is an actual comment that was made on an internet site. People don't want to see the internet regulated in such a way as to harm competition, increase prices, lower quality of service, or stifle innovation. All of these arguments are specious. Local community participation at FCC hearings proves that that issue is of interest to people. Competition is harmed by consolidation, not by ensuring access to the widest possible segment of content providers. Price increases and quality of service are determined by ISPs who have advocated for multi-tiered service which favors those who can pay more, i.e. corporate America. And there's also no evidence whatsoever to suggest that a free and open internet would have any result on restricting innovation. One of the barometers for this is YouTube views. You actually have to go to MTV2, which is a premium cable service, to see a music video. But if you go to YouTube right now, you can see a music video by some artist who might be a local artist from your community who put their video together for maybe $1,000 as opposed to the $300,000 and up that your basic MTV video would cost. Now, if you can no longer get to YouTube because it's blocked or it takes, you know, 15 minutes to download, then that is restriction of content. That is stifling innovation right there.